If Dutch runners are feeling a little bit like failures next to the Kenyans, well, that's not such a bad thing. A Dutch think tank is studying how failure can be a key stop on the road to success. The World's Clark Boyd has our story.
A boat ride through Amsterdam's canals is a testament to Holland's many successes. The Dutch beat back the sea with canals, dams, and dikes. They created a thriving city of trade and commerce and made a global name for themselves.
In the course of the centuries, Amsterdam has expanded into an international center of culture, trade, industry, and ocean and air travel.
And so it's a bit strange to find that Amsterdam is also home to the world's one and only Institute of Brilliant Failures.
If you look at the history of the Netherlands, it's very much a country of control and managing.
Paul Iske is the Institute's president. He says while the Dutch love that feeling of control, it's unrealistic in today's world.
And that gives a lot of people in the Netherlands a very nice feeling. We are in control. And the world is now very, very complex. Nobody can be in control. And it's now more a matter of navigation. And especially in this country, we need this change of thinking.
A few years back, Iske, a professor in business innovation, was doing research on business people in Holland who went through bankruptcy. He found that many were so traumatized and stigmatized that they never tried to start a business again. But those that did, Iske says, often succeeded because their failures had taught them something. Iske wanted to help others embrace failure. So he started the Institute and began offering failure workshops to businesses and organizations. There's also a website where anyone can nominate a brilliant failure in business, art, science, whatever. Of course, we're not talking about tripping over a shoelace kind of stuff. Brilliance in failing has to meet certain criteria, Iske says.
What we define as a brilliant failure is something that has been tried with very good intentions. And of course, they experience something that is different than from what they try to achieve. That's the failure part. And the brilliant part is that we can learn something from it. Well, in the worst case scenario, the only thing you learn is that this was not the way to do it. And in the best case, you learn something totally different that you even didn't expect.
Iske's favorite example of this kind of serendipity is Viagra.
Don't let erectile dysfunction get in the way.
Viagra was originally developed as a heart medication, but it's the drug's side effects that have made it a winner. Another of Iske's favorite brilliant failures is homegrown. It involves Holland's beloved speed skating. You might remember that Dutch skater Sven Kramer was expected to win gold in the 10,000 meters in the Vancouver Winter Games last year. Kramer was well out in front, and then his coach mistakenly told him to change lanes at the wrong time, leading to a disqualification. Kramer relived the moment in this documentary on Dutch television.
Ik was bezig met de beste 10 kilometer van mijn leven.
At the end of the day, Kramer said, I'm responsible for the things I do. I find it difficult to accuse other people. So what turned a major blunder into a brilliant failure for Sven Kramer? His sportsmanlike way of dealing with defeat won him fans worldwide. Kramer's coach failed brilliantly as well. He now gives master classes to companies on dealing with disappointment. But is all this focus on failing a bit too, well, defeatist?
We are living in this interesting moment of what I've been sort of jokingly referring to as kind of a wrongness zeitgeist or a failure zeitgeist.
Catherine Schultz is author of Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. She says sharing failures is becoming increasingly popular. Engineers Without Borders in Canada, for example, has launched a website called Admitting Failure. Schultz says that's fine, as long as people really are learning from their mistakes.
I worry that it is easy to pay lip service to the sort of glory of wrongness. You know, yeah, we all make mistakes and things fail and they go awry and sort of talk that talk and yet not really grapple with the deep issue, which is, okay, so what are the emotional consequences of that? What are the material consequences, the financial consequences?
The Institute of Brilliant Failures, though, is urging people to dig deep. Again, Paul Iske.
People do not feel that freedom to experiment, more or less the freedom that we have as children. When children fail, we all applaud and we say, okay, you learn something. And somehow we lose that tolerance when people grow up.
Iske says his research shows that the first step toward reclaiming that childlike freedom to fail is laughter. The next time you screw up, he says, you can start by laughing it off. For The World, this is Clark Boyd, Amsterdam.